Live from our nation's capital, it's the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
America, welcome to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine, reporting live from the Center for American Progress in Washington, D.C. It's kind of the calm before the storm, or maybe it's the storm before the calm, as the presumptive nominees, Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump, attack each other in full-throated speeches. Meanwhile, the country doesn't seem happy with either one of them. You find the Republicans trying once again to dump Trump. Will they succeed actually in their convention of getting rid of their hated nominee, who they all voted for? Hillary Clinton's side, you've got Bernie Sanders, and he's not quite going away yet. Now, I got this wrong. I must admit, I predicted by now he'd be doing a full-throated endorsement of Secretary Clinton and, you know, raise the hand up in victory and sing kumbaya and go out after the hated enemy, Donald Trump. I still think Bernie Sanders will do this. But he's a little slow to the party. And meanwhile, Elizabeth Warren seems to be filling his shoes. Now, Warren, of course, was always the big fan on the left wing of the Democrat Party. We loved her. We liked Bernie. Most of us had never heard of Bernie, I think. But we really want Elizabeth Warren in there. Well, Elizabeth Warren is rehearsing to be Vice President of the United States. And that, of course, is what's going to be the big exciting thing between now and the conventions. Who will Hillary choose? Who will the Donald choose? Who would even be on a ticket with the Donald? In any case, Hillary and the Donald are attacking each other, full-throated speeches. It's really interesting, the two speeches. Of course, Hillary Clinton, being the wonk that she is, gave a very detailed analytical speech full of detailed facts about all the things Donald Trump has done. We're going to play for you some clips of that this hour. And Donald Trump was not ordinarily like Donald Trump. He read from the teleprompter. He didn't say anything particularly racist. I know that's going to be shocking to you. Apparently, he can talk occasionally without being racist. He mostly went after a bunch of old lies against Hillary Clinton. If anything, it was the Republicans' dream. That's what they want him to do. Even as his campaign is falling apart, even as the guy who's so tough he won't listen to anyone was apparently taking orders from his children, dumping his campaign manager, whose most famous line was, "Let Trump be Trump." Well, apparently people don't like when Donald Trump is Donald Trump, so he's trying on a new mask. Hillary Clinton, I think, has the better mask. She is, I think, not trying quite so hard to be cool anymore, and I think that's a really good idea for her. If she's going to appeal to millennials, she needs to understand that she can't be like Barack Obama. There's no one cooler than Barack Obama. She needs to understand that millennials, young people in America, value authenticity more than anything else. After all, who could be more uncool than Bernie Sanders? It's not about coolness. It's about being who you are. And so I kind of liked her wonky speech. Let's play some clips from that speech right now.
Every day we see how reckless and careless Trump is. He's proud of it. Well, that's his choice. Except when he's asking to be our president. Then it's our choice. Just like he shouldn't have his finger on the button, he shouldn't have his hands on our economy. Liberals and conservatives say Trump's ideas would be disastrous. The Chamber of Commerce and labor unions, Mitt Romney and Elizabeth Warren, economists on the right and the left and the center all agree Trump would throw us back into recession. We cannot put a person like this, with all his empty promises, in a position of power over our lives. We can't let him bankrupt America like we are one of his failed casinos. We can't let him roll the dice with our children's futures. Leading an economy as large and complex as ours Creating growth that is strong, fair, and lasting is about as hard a job as there is. It takes patience and clear thinking, a willingness to work across party lines, to level with the American people, and it takes really caring about whether working families will be better off because of what we do. A few days ago, he said, and I quote, "I'm going to do for the country what I did for my business." So let's take a look at what he did for his business. He's written a lot of books about business. They all seem to end at chapter 11.
A reference to Banker Chapter.
Go figure.
Of course, Chapter 11 is a reference to bankruptcy, which, of course, many of Donald Trump's businesses did. One of the most strongest aspects of the speech, I thought, were her details about Donald Trump's businesses and how many of them failed. I mean, we've all heard about Trump University, basically a scheme to get people who want to get rich quick to get them to part with the last bit of dollars they have so that Donald Trump gets rich quick. But there's a bunch of schemes like that. There's Trump stakes. There's the Trump casinos. There's the fact that it seems that everyone who invests in Donald Trump's companies loses a fortune and he ends up making it. And then there's the fascinating disclosure, which she didn't even mention. I don't know if it had come out yet at the time of her speech, which was yesterday. But the fascinating disclosure that of the very few million dollars that Donald Trump has or has spent, given that he's really an unconventional campaign, more than a million went to himself. He paid himself. He paid the Trump casino and the Trump, I don't know, taxi service. And you have to look them all up. Like six different Trump businesses. More than $1 million. Basically, if you contribute to Donald Trump's campaign, you're just putting money in his pocket. Maybe his whole presidential campaign is just a con man scheme. Just a way to launder money. A great way to convince you to give him money, just like those poor saps that went to Trump University. And she goes into detail about his businesses, about the stuff that I brought up here on the Inside Scoop, that he doesn't even pay his workers, the really strong USA Today article on that. But she also, I think, does some important general themes about how it is that working people are the engines of the nation's economy. Some themes that you might even attribute to Bernie Sanders, talking about how when people who have the least means are better off, whether it's raising the minimum wage, which Donald Trump opposes and Hillary Clinton supports, or whether it's bringing jobs back at home, you find that they spend more and then the economy booms and then people make more. Now, you know, I've long talked about this. Economists call it the multiplier effect. She smartly didn't use that wonky term. But basically, it's the point that, yes, working people are the engines of the nation's economy. What's striking, though, is that Donald Trump's speech, in addition to attacking Hillary Clinton, right, left, and center, of course, using some really old claims from 20 years ago that have already been proven false, but he actually appeals to these same populist themes, which must be making establishment Republicans tear their hair out. After all, Republicans have had this Faustian bargain for quite a long time. And the bargain's quite simple. They're going to work on conservative measures that help very rich people. But in order to appeal to the majority of their supporters who are not rich, they're going to use racist themes with dog whistles. They're going to wink, wink, attack immigrants, wink, wink, attack blacks, wink, wink, nod, nod, attack gay people, attack women, attack everyone who's not a straight white man. And that way, the uneducated straight white man will vote for them because, well, racial appeals have themes. But Donald Trump has divorced the part of the Republican agenda that helps rich people from the part of the agenda that's racist. In fact, he becomes very clear about the racism. He doesn't even use euphemisms anymore. But at the same time, he's actually walking away from a lot of conservative principles. As we listen to Donald Trump's speech attacking our lack of infrastructure, attacking money in politics, I couldn't help but think, these are the primary bases of which today's Republican Party is built. They're all about taking money from donors and helping people pollute and helping rich companies and corporations at the expense of the ordinary man. trade deals, you won't find more support for trade deals than from the Republican Party. So it's no wonder that the Republican Party is thinking of dumping Trump. Let's play a few of those themes from Donald Trump's speech.
When I see the crumbling roads and bridges, or the dilapidated airports, or the factories moving overseas to Mexico, or to other countries for that matter, I know these problems can all be fixed, but not by Hillary Clinton, only by me. The fact is, we can come back bigger and better and stronger than ever before. Jobs, jobs, jobs. Everywhere I look, I see the possibilities of what our country could be. But we can't solve any of these problems by relying on the politicians who created the problems themselves. We'll never be able to fix a rigged system by counting on the same people who have rigged it in the first place. The insiders wrote the rules of the game to keep themselves in power and in the money. That's why we're asking Bernie Sanders voters to join our movement. So together, we can fix the system for all Americans so important.
So listen closer to what he's saying. He's saying that infrastructure is a problem. Well, we all know that Barack Obama had bills to help our crumbling roads and bridges, and the Republicans stopped them. They said they were too expensive. They shut down the government, remember? The rigged system on money and politics? Well, again, Democrats tried to pull back Citizens United, try to force lobbyists to disclose how much money they're giving, and who insisted on the rigged system? That's right, Republican politicians. So jobs, 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 appealing to Bernie Sanders supporters, this is a highly unusual campaign. He's basically attacking his entire party. Now, he's not saying it's the Republican Party. He's blaming Hillary, but does he have any chance of getting Bernie Sanders supporters? See, I don't think so. Bernie Sanders supporters are economic populists, to be sure. But they're not racist. They're not misogynist. They're not anti-Muslim. They'll never combine with the other parts of the Trump agenda. So it almost seems to me like he's losing the right and the left. But I want to hear what you think. Give me a call. Let me know. 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. We'll be right back right after this.
He's a Bible-quoting, Constitution-loving, flag-waving, red-blooded, liberal American. He's Mark Levin. Give him a call now at 888-488-MARK. That's 888-488-6275. Back to the Aggressive Progressive, Mark Levin.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levin, talking about the presidential race. Encourage you to call in at 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. The sooner you call in, the more time you get on the air. That's just the way it works. One of the things I find most interesting as Hillary and Donald are attacking each other is how much of the attacks are coming from inside the House. Now, I get it. It's still June. We're still coalescing. It's still before the conventions. Okay. But it appears the Dump Trump movement is not dead. They're talking already about rounding up the delegates and having them vote to suspend the rules and not require them to vote for who the voters of the primaries and caucuses voted for. It's a fascinating development. On the one hand, I can't blame Republicans for thinking that Donald Trump probably isn't their best nominee right now, particularly since he's lagging in the polls way behind Hillary Clinton. He doesn't have the money. He's busy attacking Republican principles like free trade and protecting the budget from going into deficit, things that I think are Republican principles, although obviously I'm not a Republican. So I understand why they may want to dump him, but how can you have primaries and caucuses in 50 states? Well, I guess 49. North Dakota didn't have one. How can you have them in 49 states and then just say, sorry, voters, we're going to choose for you? I think the Dump Trump movement will fail, but I do think all this animosity between Republicans and among Republicans will last well into November. I can't think of a time when we've had a nominee not supported by the two Republican presidents that are still alive, George Bush Jr. and Sr., not supported by the last nominee of the Republican Party, Mitt Romney, frankly only has lukewarm support by the Speaker of the House, Paul Ryan, who did everything he could to keep his distance on Meet the Press, and frankly is generally derided by virtually every Republican commentator I've met. I don't think even Donald Trump takes himself seriously. You know, when he gave his speech from the teleprompter, it was very clear that he was reading someone else's words. So clear, and this always amuses me, that he would even comment on the words, almost like when you hear a speech instead of when you give a speech. He'd say something that was obviously written for him, and then he'd say, "How about that?" Not even keeping up the illusion that these are his own words. And yet this is what Republicans want from him. They want him to calm down. They don't want to let Trump be Trump. After all, he had to fire Corey Lewandowski, his campaign manager, whose theme was "Let Trump be Trump." Apparently, Corey was going to do a hit piece on Donald Trump's son-in-law, and his kids didn't like that very much. This is our presumptive Republican nominee. I mean, even as a Democrat, I gotta say it's pretty astonishing to have someone this ill-informed and this unpresidential running. But let's face it, Hillary has her problems too. I don't think the Bernie Sanders supporters have come fully aboard yet. I keep waiting for Bernie to lead the train, but let's face it, Bernie Sanders is not really a Democrat. He's a socialist. He just joined the Democratic Party last year, and while he does represent a lot of hopes and dreams of a lot of Democrats, no question about it, I think he doesn't have the same party loyalty that most Democrats do. As I said, Elizabeth Warren is not making that mistake. She represents the left wing of the Democratic Party, but she does so with pride. I should probably say the progressive wing, since I think she's a liberal, not a leftist. But she does so with pride, and she actually is talking about the vice presidential nomination. You're not supposed to do that. Someone didn't give her the memo where you say, if they ask you if you're running for vice president, you say, "Well, you know, I'm very happy in my current job, and if the presidential nominee should call upon me, it's something I would seriously consider, but it's not something I'm campaigning for." That's how you're supposed to do it. That's the American way. You're always supposed to pretend like you don't want the second most powerful job in the country. That is the etiquette. She's not following it, and she's basically saying, "Sure, I'd love to be vice president." And, you know, I didn't think Hillary would choose her, but I'm starting to wonder now, given that Donald Trump is going to so many populist themes, and given that Elizabeth Warren is so terrific, particularly on these things, who better to bring the Bernie Sanders supporters and the people that Donald Trump is apparently trying to reach to more than Elizabeth Warren? But could America handle two women at the top of the ticket? I mean, it's big enough to have an American president that would be a woman. I think it's great. I don't see any problem with it. I love Elizabeth Warren. But we haven't even had a vice president that's a woman before. Would America accept a ticket with two women in charge? I hope so. I do want to hear what you think. Toll-free number, 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. We'll be right back right after this.
Who says nerds can't be fun? It's Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine. It sounds like a Saturday Night Live episode. Donald Trump has directed nearly one-fifth of his entire campaign cash to companies that are part of his business empire.
What?
Now, it's true that you got to publish where your money goes. Hey, I'm a candidate myself. I got to fill out those forms. You know, every parking meter, every dollar spent on coffee, it's all there. And thank God we have these disclosure laws, because we now find out, with all the things people have accused him of, people didn't realize that Donald Trump, who has really very little money in his campaign, very few people have donated compared to Hillary Clinton, or frankly compared to Mitt Romney or Obama or John McCain for that matter, has spent $11 million. Well, I thought it was just $1 million. $11 million, 70% of all campaign expenses on Trump organizations. If you donate to Donald Trump, your donation is going from your hand to Donald's pocket. He paid, and I got some of the details now, $420,000 to Mar-a-Lago, the private Florida club where he had many election night celebrations. He paid $4.6 million to Tag Air so he could use his private jets. He even gave $5,000 to the Eric Trump Winery Manufacturing LLC. I guess he gets his wine from his son. You know, I've all along said that Donald Trump never expected to win. Didn't even really want to win. He went into this race on a lark, a celebrity candidate. This is the guy who's on The Apprentice. He went in the race to make money for his companies. He was going to say, hey, I'm Donald Trump, and get 2% of the votes and hopefully get more business at his hotels. More fools joining the Trump University or buying Trump steaks or going to a Trump Tower. But it appears this was all a big money laundering scheme. He's actually using the money to pad his own pocket. And what's interesting is I don't think he even wants to be president. I think he's really scared of such a thing. In fact, he recently said that he would delegate much of the powers for presidency to his various advisors, none of which he named. So is he trying to lose? Is he trying just to say anything and get the money and then run and have a new reality show? Well, I've been calling to the tweets, and I've heard what some of you had to say. We've got tweets. Let's see. Jennifer writes, Donald Trump accuses others but uses campaign funds to make his family richer. Local businesses could have benefited, but he is greedy. Okay. And then we have Rick Summers, who says Trump is a con man. I expect him to con. All right. Fair enough. And then we've got, this is an interesting comment because I think it's largely true. Lynn, who writes, maybe he just doesn't have as much money as he says. Maybe this bid for the White House is just another scheme to make him money. Exactly. Probably why he won't relinquish his tax returns. 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275, Link in Santa Fe, New Mexico, on line one. How are you?
Fine, Mark. How are you doing?
I'm good.
I'm going to talk about this real quickly. Is, you know, here in the United States, we're very big on winner-takes-all and gloating about winning and all this sort of thing. You know, hyper-competitive approach to politics. And it seems to me that Hillary Clinton could show some political wisdom by forming a coalition with Bernie Sanders and saying, look, there are certain things that are very important to you, and I'm willing to basically include you as a partner in this.
Well, Link, let me ask you this. So Hillary Clinton has gone in Bernie Sanders' direction on a few issues. She's opposed to the TPP, the Trans-Pacific Partnership. By the way, Donald Trump, when he first heard of the TPP, said, what is this, PPP? And made sort of a urine reference.
Yeah.
But now apparently Donald Trump opposes it too. But she's opposed to TPP. She's willing to increase the minimum wage to $12, if not the $15 that Bernie Sanders wants. I'm curious to know from you, if she were to put Elizabeth Warren on the ticket, you sound like a Bernie Sanders supporter. Is that fair? Maybe not.
I like his reality better than – I think he's better at just talking to people than making speeches, and I think people want somebody to talk to him.
If
Trump is talking to people.
Right. He's saying nonsense, but he's not using speeches. So if Hillary Clinton were to put Elizabeth Warren on the ticket, would that satisfy you, Link?
I think that would be a big step in the right direction. I think a lot of people, I'm an older guy, and, you know, I think a lot of people project onto, especially the millennials, that they actually care if there were two women on the ticket as opposed. I think that's an older generation's approach, just like they thought a socialist could never get 10 votes.
I don't think the millennials, I agree. I think millennials would be thrilled to have two women on the ticket. Frankly, I'd be thrilled I think it would be kind of thing that make the world take notice, wake up people. But I do think there is a certain group of, shall we say, older white men, and I won't insult you or me, but I think that might bring some of Trump supporters, you know, grumbling and out, and we could have a really sexist, racist campaign. I mean, don't you think there's some men, Link, that might vote for, say, a Bill Clinton and might even hold their nose and vote for Hillary Clinton but couldn't stomach Clinton Warren?
Well, of course, there are those people. Here's the other thing is, I know Gary Johnson personally. He lives in Taos, actually live in Taos. And he, Gary is going to peel a bunch of votes off from Donald Trump. Because, and one thing I'm a little worried about, Gary, is Gary routinely says, look, I go to Colorado, buy pot, I smoke pot all the time, right?
Well, he said
and
that
they asked
him this, and he said that he hadn't smoked it in 3 weeks, and he promised not to smoke it for the duration of the campaign, which I thought was interesting.
But I think he's also involved in an investment in marijuana growing here in New Mexico, and, you know, he pushed for it when he was governor. But the other thing is, that will appeal to some millennials.
Well, it certainly will. So, Link, you say he'll take from Donald Trump as a Libertarian candidate, and that is sort of the conventional wisdom. Do you fear that he might take a whole bunch from Hillary as well?
I think it would be a French group. I don't think it would be the
You think he'll take more from Donald than Hillary?
I think so. But, again, I think this idea, we should entertain the idea of coalition governments that are more inclusive, which is kind of what Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders are saying. And one other thing I want to throw in, Bernie Sanders is going to go back and be chairman of the Budget Committee in the Senate. He's not going to be without power. He's going to have tons of power. He's also, you know, he has a huge following, and he's going to be able to use that power to accomplish a lot of things.
But don't you think Bernie Sanders would have more power now if he and his aides got in the back room with Hillary Clinton and her aides, and they hammered out a platform, and he got his speaking time at the convention, and he played ball, you know? I mean, he got definitely stuff that he wants in the platform. Because I think Bernie Sanders is vanished for the last 2 weeks. And I think, frankly, Elizabeth Warren is filling the void of where he no longer is.
Right, but I think the best thing would be do it in the front row. For everybody to see, like we sit down, we work this out. We're going to work together, and the president is the president to be. Hillary Clinton is telling me she's going to work with me on student loans to eliminate them, to get free college for everybody, to get $15 an hour minimum wage, to, you know, and go through.
Yeah, I don't think she's going to agree with all his proposals. After all, they ran against some of them. But I think she would move in some of his direction. I'll tell you this, though, about negotiations, and I say this as a politician myself, they never occur in the front room. They never do. The reason you can't make a negotiation in the front room is because then everyone will insist that you stick with the principles you began with. Whereas you can say that in the back room, compromise, and come out with this pretty compromise that makes everyone equally unhappy. It's really, really hard to negotiate. I mean, I'm all about transparent government. It's one of the things I founded the Virginia Transparency Caucus. I certainly believe committee hearings need to be public and so forth. But when you're talking with your ally about how best to do something, you probably don't want to air that laundry out in public. It's just not the way politics works.
Bill Clinton, Bill Richardson, when he was governor up here, you remember he used to go get people out of North Korea?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you got to do that quietly, too.
It was already, all those deals were already a done deal before he ever even announced that
he was going. That's exactly right. So you understand that some of those negotiations, they got to be in private. Link, I got to take another break. Thank you very much for calling in. Toll-free number is 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. We'll be right back right after this. Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine. This is your last chance to call in, folks, at 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. Any comment on the 2016 presidential race? I thought it was interesting that Link from Santa Fe brought up his ex-governor, Gary Johnson. Gary Johnson, of course, I hadn't mentioned him until now, is the Libertarian candidate for president. And I suspect it's safe to say that Gary Johnson will at least get third in the presidential race. I think he's actually going to do better than any Libertarian candidate has done before, largely because there are going to be Republicans that just cannot pull the lever for Donald Trump. And so they might be looking for a Libertarian candidate who doesn't believe in massive government spending. In fact, it's interesting that Donald Trump is the biggest spender of the candidates. He wants to spend trillions of dollars, mostly on giving tax cuts to very, very rich people. kind of hard to see how he's the candidate for the little guy when he wants to give so much money to, well, Donald Trump, as Hillary Clinton pointed out in her speech. But if you don't believe in government spending, if you want a very minimalist government, if you are a conservative in that respect, you might just look at Gary Johnson. But what if you're a social conservative? What if you oppose gay rights? What if you want to put sex education out of the schools and promote prayer? What about the evangelicals? Well, Donald Trump went to get their vote and didn't come back with much. They're trying to like him, but Donald Trump is certainly not a very religious Christian. In fact, Hillary Clinton's far more of a Christian, I guess, than Donald Trump, being a good Methodist and all. And Gary Johnson is liberal on social issues as well, right? So where are all the gay-hating Republicans? Where, Ted Cruz, we're looking for you, man. Well, I'll tell you where they are. Many of them are delegates to the Republican National Convention. Many of them are sitting right there in Congress. And many of them will seek to dump Trump in Cleveland when the issue comes up. In fact, the leader of the Dump Trump movement is a Cruz conservative, an evangelical Christian who talks a lot about church going. You see, the Republican Party is fragmented in a bunch of pieces. It's true that Bernie Sanders and Hillary supporters have their differences, but it's really a question of degree. It's like Hillary Clinton wants the minimum wage to go up to $12, with selected localities going up to $15. Bernie Sanders wants it all, $15. Hillary Clinton supports the goal, I think, of universal health care, but she's going to expand Obamacare as we go and not jump right to a single-payer system. Bernie Sanders would jump right there. Hillary Clinton will make college more affordable. Bernie Sanders would make it free. So they're all in the same direction. It's just Bernie Sanders goes farther than Hillary Clinton does, which is why I think it's really hard to see how any Bernie Sanders voters would vote for Donald Trump. But if you're a social conservative, where do you go? You don't even go to Gary Johnson. It's going to be hard to see. I think they're going to stay home. And if they do stay home, does that mean the Democrats will win the Senate and possibly even the highly gerrymandered House of Representatives? A man can dream. 888-48-MARK, 888-48-6275. Let's go to Bill on line one. Hey, Bill, how are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm good.
I totally agree with you, number one, that he will not ever release his taxes because he never has paid any taxes. Number two, I think that the man is an egomaniac and doesn't want to be president, and he's doing it for the ego, and he's finding a way to get out. And number three, I don't think he's ever going to release his tax returns because I think he's worth many billions of dollars less in net worth than he says he is.
I agree with you. I think he's always been a showman. He's always been someone who has bragged about more than he has and has, frankly, as a good con man does, won over many people through his bragging and not through reality. It's fascinating about his taxes. I don't know if you saw, it didn't get that much press. I forget which newspaper did some investigation. It may have even been the New York Daily News, which isn't really very much an investigative newspaper. I don't remember who it was, but someone took a look at his New York property taxes, which apparently are public record. And in New York, if you make under $500,000 a year, which is still pretty high, but under $500,000 a year, you get to save on $340 that would go to the schools. So in other words, if you make more than $500,000, you pay another $340 to the schools. Well, in his most recent property taxes, Donald Trump got the $340 rebate, which means either he made less than $500,000 last year, or he cheated on his taxes. Now, I'm not sure which Donald Trump wants us to believe. Does he want us to say, hey, he doesn't even make $1 million, doesn't even make $500,000? Does he want us to know that? Or does he want us to know that he cheated on his taxes? Neither. One of those things has to be true.
Yeah.
It can't, one of those things has to be true. We just don't know which one it is. And I'm waiting for the reporter to ask him, did you make less than $500,000, or did you cheat on your taxes? Come on, Anderson Cooper. Well, ask that question.
The other thing, and I agree, the other thing is that the man moves things. He's robbing Peter to pay Paul. And, of course, he went bankrupt in all of his
four
properties
times
in Atlantic City,
right.
And he ended up making tens of millions and millions, hundreds of millions of dollars because he moved money from here and there and yonder, and ended up going bankrupt, and he had no money in the deal.
The other point that you made that I completely agree with, it has to do with his ego. What's fascinating is if you listen to him closely in one of his more unguarded moments, he will admit to you. He will admit to a reporter. I mean, he's weirdly honest in some respects. He'll say, I never expected to get this far. I never thought I'd do this well. I thought I might get 2 or 3 or 4%. I mean, he didn't run a campaign. He didn't raise money like a campaign. Yeah. The only reason Donald Trump is popular after taking his weird escalator tour down, which, you know, that's going to go down in American history, I'm sorry to say. That's going to be one of those weird moments, like when Marilyn Monroe sang happy birthday to John F. Kennedy. We're always going to remember that moment when Donald Trump descended from the escalator because it's just too weird. You can't make that up. Saturday Night Live is not that clever. But he descends from the escalator.
No.
And if you've looked at his initial speech, it is an hour of just randomness, of some kind of mishmash, of just kind of random thoughts coming into his head. And there's only 10 seconds of that speech that anyone remembers. It's the part where he said, the Mexicans, the government of Mexico, they're sending in their drug dealers, their rapists, and some, I assume, are nice people. And he had no idea that in his random one-hour speech, that 30 seconds would touch a nerve, that there are enough Americans that hate foreigners, that hate Mexicans, that they would vote for him. Not the majority of America, but, you know, 10 million is enough to win a primary, with that, even though that's, what, 3% of the American populace. He hit a nerve. He's an accidental nominee. And everybody knows it. I mean, you look, they're asking Republican senators and members of Congress to talk about him, and they're saying, oh, no, I'm not going to take any comments on Donald Trump. I mean, how embarrassing.
I really think they're going to.
Go ahead.
Yeah. I think they're really going to vote him out in the convention because the man really doesn't want to lose. He's a loser, but he doesn't want to face the image of losing to the public. That's not good. So they're going to vote him out. I think that he's not going to. I think he wants to be president, but he doesn't want to be president because I think he knows that he's going to get beaten. And he just rambles and rambles and rambles and doesn't hit the points like Bernie did and like Elizabeth Warren. Boy, they're really on the nose.
Bill, listen, Donald Trump doesn't want to be president. He wants to be king. Right. He wants to have the scepter. He wants you to sing Hail to the Chief. He wants everyone to praise him. He wants to go to all those glamorous balls. He wants to be our figurehead leader because, you know, he's a pretty narcissistic guy and he really loves when people say good things about him. But he certainly doesn't know anything about policy. He doesn't know anything about governing. And it's what's weird is his policies are weirdly they're contradictory. I mean, here he says some things that I agree with. First, he comes out and he gets the endorsement of the NRA, which is really scary. Then he comes around and he says, well, wait, I don't think terrorists should be able to buy guns. And then your question is, well, wait a minute, which script are you reading after? The NRA believes that terrorists should be able to buy guns in America, right? Then he comes around and he says that he's, if you heard his speech, he's going to protect blacks in the inner cities. He's going to look out for gay Americans. You know, and black people and gay people are like, what? No, we don't want you. You know, Republicans are like, wait, we don't want them. And so it's fascinating. I actually don't think the Dump Trump movement will succeed. I think that the idea of throwing out the people's elected presumptive nominee is just not going to carry any weight. I don't think they'll succeed, but I think a big ruckus will be made. I think it will always be entertaining. And I think this election is going to go down in the history books as the weird and wild American election of 2016, much like the Know Nothing Party in the 1850s. We'll
I
always remember
so.
This election,
also,
but I think he's going to lose.
I don't see how he can win. He's losing the Hispanic vote.
No.
He's losing the black vote.
I tell you, Bill, I'm out of time, but let me tell you, this is an opportunity for Democrats. It's more than Hillary Clinton becoming president. This is our chance to take back Congress, to take back the Senate, to take back even, God willing, the House of Representatives from the gerrymandered Republican Party. Let's look at Donald Trump as the gift that keeps on giving. This is Mark Levine. Check out my website, marklevinetalk.com, and I'll talk to you tomorrow.